Let's look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. The window a little bit misty this morning. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Bruce.
It is a little misty. It's kind of a wet morning here in Half Moon Bay, but very nice.
Yeah, I haven't seen one like this for a while. I came across the bridge. I thought it was actually raining this morning.
It was in my neighborhood. In my neighborhood in the Tenderloin, it was raining.
Wow.
Oh, that's good. We seldom see rain. We get a lot of mist these days.
Right. This was absolutely wet stuff on the ground today. Hey, I said it earlier. I get your reaction to this. Giants-Cardinals, Bruce. You remember 12. You remember 14. Then you watch this game last night. It's that look on Mike Matheny's face as his bullpen comes apart. And it's the best bullpen in the world, except when it comes to AT&T Park. I saw it again last night.
Yeah, the Giants-Cardinals is just an amazing dynamic. I mean, it's going to be a close game. You can just almost guarantee that. And, you know, now... Exactly. You wonder what Matheny's thinking now. Am I going to go with my conventional stuff? I don't have Rosenthal, first of all. And everything he does seems to turn to dust. And then you get friggin' Tomlinson coming out from nowhere and figuring out how to pitch to Marlon Byrd. And, you know, but they are the Cardinals, after all. And, you know, they could turn the tables today. But, yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I mean, especially from Waka's standpoint after the Ishikawa thing and it just gets more interesting by the day, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Bruce, where are these young guys, Duffy and Tomlinson and all these guys, where do you think that composure comes from? I mean, obviously, we want to credit them with some composure, but what do you think the source on the team is? Is it Bruce Bochy? Is it Buster Posey? These guys just seem like big leaguers day one.
Well, I think John Barr should get an awful lot of credit, and all the guys who scout these guys. You know, when it comes to the draft, it's easy to spot a guy like Buster Posey or Carlos Correa or a guy like Giancarlo Stanton who hits the ball 600 miles. But to get down lower in the you know, 10th, 12th, 18th rounds, you're looking for intangibles in guys. Guys who have some maturity, who have a natural way of playing the game, who understand the game, that you think could project into big leaguers with a little bit of seasoning. And we're seeing it so often now. You know, Duffy and Tomlinson panic. Yep. You know, I think Susak falls into there. You know, Strickland's certainly not afraid. Heston. You know, the lower round drafting is just exceptional. I think it comes, you know, it comes from their parents. I mean, is where it comes from. But you've got to be able to spot these guys in high school, college, wherever. And then, you know, once you get them into a clubhouse with Matt Cain and Buster Posey and these guys, then they can take it from there. The nurturing goes on. But these guys show up, and they're ready to play big league ball.
Yep. Boy, it's so true. Bruce Jenkins with us. Grady Fuson, who is the scouting director for the A's, always told me this, that after the first round, that's when you pick the major leaguers. And I think it applies to these guys.
That's exactly what I was trying to convey there, because, you know, they're out there. You realize that this guy Tomlinson was out there. I mean, he could easily have not been drafted by anybody, and he could go in. He could be a carpenter or an optician like his wife. You know, I mean, and he just throw up his hands and go, well, that's the luck of the draw. You know, nobody wanted me, and yet the Giants saw some things in this guy. Of course, you know, he runs like the wind, and he can jump out of the building. So, I mean, he's got great physical tools. But just to look at him, I mean, and a guy like Panic or Duffy, you don't instantly think, well, there's the guy that's going to be in our starting infield. But, you know, the more you know about these guys, the more the humility and the knowledge of the game, and it all seems to fit.
Yeah, it's a great story. Yeah. You know, every season, Bruce, has a story. We never know where it's going to go. But all of a sudden, you start to see the story. Injuries, players coming up, hanging in there and not getting put away. Seven games, Giants, Dodgers. You're into September, and the story's happening. And the story for me, players that have stepped up. And Heston's another one. He gets another shot tomorrow. But stepping up for Kane early on, Vogelsong as an afterthought, and he's out there again today. So it's been an interesting season for me so far, and the injuries really have been a big part of people who are coming up. Bruce, what did you think of Waka and Leake, the contrast in those two last night?
Well, we know a lot about Waka, and he's a tremendous pitcher. You know, he's had some problems here. This is not his favorite ballpark. He got one pitch up to Byrd, and he took it straight out the center. But you know, Leake was the real story. I mean, this guy, I don't know what's not to like about him. Tremendous breaking ball, good control, works fast. 7-pitch innings. You know, a little bit hard luck on the one loss side, but he's an absolute keeper. He's a number two guy, just without question. And he's got the track record to prove it. And he's pitched great against the Cardinals, you know, routinely in his career. He's a big game pitcher. He hasn't been in many, but he's about to. And that's just a great pickup. You know, they've got to sign him for next year. I think that's imperative, and I think they will do that. But I really like a guy who works fast, trusts his stuff, and always seems to have guys a little bit off balance.
Yeah, off balance was what I took away from him last night. He likes to keep the ball low. He put a little bit too low to Posey. But Tommy Pham, look, more credit to him. You know, he made the game a track meet. And I'm surprised more people don't tag up from first to second. I mean, you see so many balls at the wall, losing momentum in an outfielder, backpedaling, and guys are standing there at first base watching it or halfway just watching it.
Yeah, once you see an outfielder get a little bit comfortable with the ball, and he doesn't have his back to you looking at the vegetable garden, you know, you got a pretty good chance he's going to make that play. And that's when you don't want to be halfway to second and just have to retreat. That's when you get on the bag and get ready to go. And if it should fall in, you know, then you might still get to third. You might not. But yeah, that's the mark of a good base runner. That's the Cardinals, and the Giants do that too.
Hey, Bruce, phenomenal three-dot lounge once again today. So tip of the cap to you there.
Thank you.
You invoked the name of the guy I kind of patterned my tennis career after, Stefan Edberg. So thank you for that. But and Marty even brought it up earlier, talking about the team error. Go ahead and expand on that, Jake Peavy, Buster Posey.
Yeah, well, I've been arguing for this for years, and this is the best example I think I've ever seen. Without the team error, you either put an error on somebody or it's a hit. And here you've got two guys. It's a routine pop up. The pitcher did more than his job. He got the guy to pop it up straight up. Now that's never a hit in 18 million years. Okay, on any planet. But it falls in, you know, nobody touches it, double. No, 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 no. See, they've got to have a team error. The team screwed it up. It wasn't Peavy, it wasn't Posey, it was a combination. You see the same thing happen. Let's say you got a great throw from Pence coming into third, and it hits the runner as he slides into third and skips away, and the guy scores. That's a team error. Nobody was at fault. It happens in several occasions. Any time a fly ball falls in, you know, when the pitcher did his job and it's a routine fly ball, that's never a hit. Never a hit, ever. And it's a team error, and that's what I wish would get put in there. I mean, it would make so much more sense. I mean, pitchers' ERAs are affected. Guys get hits they don't deserve, and I don't know. It's just once a year, I go on a tirade on this thing, and it came in August this year.
How do you rate Mike Matheny as a manager and what he's accomplished? We got into a little discussion here with someone who calls himself Mel Ott, who's not crazy about Matheny. What do you think about him?
Well, I'm going to call myself High Pockets Kelly as I give you this answer.
All right. Mike Turkey Donlin. Okay.
Yeah. We could go on that one. Yeah. Against the Giants, it's just so funny. I mean, Bochy tends to have a little edge. Mm-hmm. But on the real side, day-to-day, all throughout the big leagues, all through the season, I think Matheny's terrific. I mean, you know, they've had a lot of problems just like the Giants. They've had several guys go out, Holiday and Adams, and just up and down the line, pitchers, relievers. And they're always still the Cardinals. Just as we're discovering the Giants, you know, they're still the Giants. You can't put them away. They're bringing up new guys, and they're still the Giants. I like Matheny. I like how he handles pitchers. I have the highest respect for him. I remember when he was here and got his concussion issues. I remember talking to several people. I go, this guy would be a great manager for the Giants. He was a real good Giant for the short time he was here. If they could somehow get him into the organization, that'd be great.
But yeah, he's done well. He really has.
Oh, yeah.
In the midst of his fourth year, his team has gone to the postseason each of his first three, and 15 manager in Major League Baseball to win 275 or more in his first three games. So that's averaging 90. So here's the other one, Bruce. The infield trio of Colton Wong, Johnny Peralta, and Matt Carpenter all have at least 10 home runs, 20 doubles, and 50 RBIs.
Wow.
The only other time in Cardinals history this has happened, where the second baseman, shortstop, and third baseman all did that, was in 1953. And Bruce, I'm going to ask you, do you have any idea who did it?
The Cardinals of 53.
Yeah. Good question. Now, think of people.
Shane Deanst in there?
Yep. Red Shane, he's at second. Go ahead.
Who was the shortstop? Was Blazin game in there? He wasn't going to be a hit.
It's your favorite manager. Go ahead.
Oh, Solly Hemus.
Solly Hemus at short.
Oh, my God.
And one of my favorites, the third baseman also for the Giants in 58 and for the Cincinnati Reds in 56. He was a Cardinal in 53, Ray Jablonski. So those are names you and I talk about all the time.
Absolutely. I was just talking to my wife about Ray Jablonski. She's a huge Jablonski fan.
Oh, I can only talk to you about this. You know that. So.
The two wise
but
men.
But
right
when
here.
I saw it, I said, boy, I got it. That's one for Bruce on Saturday. But what's up with you today?
Well, I'm heading down to L.A. tomorrow. I'm going to be covering for Henry, the Dodgers series. So, you know, I'm packing stuff up and getting ready. But, you know, obviously watching the Giants and catch up in the track and field. And,
oh, good.
And the Little League World Series, I've been in and out of that. I kind of get into that a little bit. So, yeah, it's a real hectic day, but a good day.
Hey, Bruce, Marty had a nice piece with Juan Perez earlier in today's show.
And, oh, I wish I'd heard it.
Oh, it was really good. And the highlight was, or the crux of it was talking about that phenomenal catch last week at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Oh. So we go from that one just tremendous baseball play to Kevin Kiermaier last night hanging up on the wall, losing the ball in the lights of the Tropicana Stadium in Tampa. And Marty always says, every day you come to the yard, you see something you've never seen before. Did you see the Kiermaier play last night?
Yeah, I loved it because I've been following him all year. I read in spring training what a phenomenal fielder this guy was, and I wasn't that familiar with him. And trying to catch as many highlights as he can, that guy is a phenomenal outfielder. Really, really good. Not he hasn't hit as much as they like, but his defense alone, you know, they're still in the race. And if they get some big games, he's going to get some big time exposure.
Yeah, that was I'd never seen anything like that, Marty.
No,
with the,
I know that was wild. I mean, that was like Bo Jackson, you know, climbing when there was no place to climb.
The worst stadium in the history of sports.
Oh my God!
Wow!
Right?
How about the ball? You know,
anything worse than that?
Who hit the ball? But it was headed to Saturn.
Really?
And it hit the wrong part of the ceiling. You know, so it's a double.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't want to. I'm going to be that guy, but I've had some friends of mine go out there and say it was a real fun experience, that they have a ray actually out in center field, a manta ray or whatever, and they had a good time. But it doesn't photograph well, I can assure you of that.
I hope it blows up well when they get the explosives out. Okay.
All right, Bruce, thanks so much. Well, I think we have our time for tomorrow, don't we?
Yes, we do. Same time tomorrow.
Same time. All right, thanks, Bruce. Have a good day.
Okay, guys.
All right, bye-bye.